tier is Masechta Bei Daf Lamed Beis, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom, Amashmul. Amashmul, Chayf Mishbekarka, if we have something fastened to the ground, we have a pit in the ground, for example, and we have a covering fastened, matter, it's fastened with a rope, we could untie the rope, Avloy Mafkia, we're not allowed to unravel the rope, Vloy Chaytech, and we're not allowed to cut the rope. Reason being, since it's connected to the ground, so if it's just tied there, tying is not considered something permanent, and since it's not considered permanent, we're allowed to untie it. However, if it needs cutting or unraveling, that's much more of a connection to the ground, and that type of a connection is under the category of binyan v'stira. Shebekalim, but if something is fastened to a utensil, their matter certainly could be untied. But you're even allowed to unravel it or cut it, because since it's only connected to a keli, it's not considered that much of a connection. And that's why any type of disconnecting is permissible. Echad Shabbos v'echad Yontif. And like the Mefarshim point out, from here we see that if something is not meant to be permanently connected, and it's a keli, untying it or disconnecting it may be mutter, certainly when we do it derech kilkel, the Chazanish says. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a braisa, chos mishabakarka, something tied to the ground, b'shabbos matir, you're allowed to untie it, avaloi mafkiv aloi chaytich. B'yontif, but on yontif matir u'maftiyah v'chaytich, you're even allowed to do any type of disconnecting, even though it's connected to the ground. Answers the Gemara, Ha'mani Remehi, who's the man, the Omer, that is so lenient, even when it's connected to the ground? Remeir of our Mishnah, that said in the Mishnah we learned in the previous year, Af Poichas L'chatchil V'noitel, when you have this bricks piled up, one on top of another, we could separate them entirely. U'pligi Rabbanan Lei, and Rabbanan disagree, and Rabbanan hold that we cannot undo those bricks, open up those bricks for somebody to be able to access what's inside. Similarly here, they are more machmer regarding chos mois shebekarka. The Farshim point out, if we see that we're so machmer regarding something connected to the ground, how can we open and close windows and doors? And all the Farshim explained that windows and doors were meant to be constantly opened and closed. That's why there is no issue when one opens and closes those windows. The Tzlach asks that here we're learning that something with the kalim, that if it's just kalim, we could do matir, but we could do chaytech u'mafkiyah. So ask the Tzlach, the way the Gemara explained our Mishnah is also describing a situation where the bricks are piled up one on top of the other. So since they're piled up, they're not connected by cement, we don't have stira d'oraisa. So why are the Rabbanan makel in our case, by the kalim, that allow us to do matir chaytech mafkiyah, and don't let us be makel in the case of the Mishnah, as the Gemara explained it. So the Tzlach says a very nice teretz. In our Gemara, there's only one consideration. Chaytech mafkiyah, are you allowed to break it? So since it's yontif, and since it's the Rabbanon, we're makel. In the Mishnah, there are two considerations. The stir of the Rabbanon, and also concern of muksa. So even though we have a heter for Simchas Yontif, when we have two considerations, Chazal will not make them. Ask the Gemara, "Umiplig Rabbana lebechois mishubakaka." Is there any, so? The way the Gemara explained, our Gemara is going according to Rabbanon that poiches lechatchil v'noitel. The Rabbanon disagree, and you're not allowed to do this on Yontif. And we said that Shmuel agrees with the Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, "Omiplig Rabbanon lebechos shvakarka." Is there any disagreement? For Tanya, we learned another brisa. Anything connected to the ground, shabbos matter avloi mekia avloi chaytich. B'yontav matter mafkia v'chaytich. On yontav, you're allowed to disconnect even something connected to the ground. So let's understand the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara said that Shmuel is going according to Rabbanon, and Rabbanon will not allow us to do they'll only allow matir. Here the Brisa says that the Rabbanan even allow mafkiyah v'choytach on yontif. Answers the Gemara. Shmuel has a different Brisa. Hu dama kahai tana. Shmuel holds like the following Brisa. The Tanya, chois mishvakarka, matir, only untying is permissible. Avloy mafkiyah v'loy choytach, echad shabbos v'echad yontif. So this Brisa clearly says that mafkiyah v'choytach is osur even on yontif. And Shmuel subscribes to this version of the Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Brisa. It says in the Brisa, Shabakeli, if they fast into a keli, b'Shabbos mata avaloi mafkiyah v'loi chaytach. B'yontif mata mafkiyah v'chaytach. He differentiates between a keli on Shabbos and a keli on yontif. Says the Gemara, the rest of the Choresha, so the beginning of the Brisa that says that it's osur to do mafkiyah chaytach on chos m'shabakeli coincides with the way Shmuel understands. But the Sefer is difficult, because the Sefer says that on Shabbos, even on a keli, mafkiyah v'chaytach is osur. And Shmuel says that in a keli, it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Ha-mani, who is the Tana of the second part of the Braisa? Reb Nechemyahi. It's going according to Reb Nechemyah, Damekola kelim, ain't in the column el tech tashmishin. Reb Nechemyah, Masech the Shabbos, teaches us a very big chumrah. Reb Nechemyah holds that any keli on Shabbos could, Mechlok Rashi and Tosfos, could only be used for, according to Rashi, its designated purpose, according to Tosfos, for a purpose that it's usually used for. So here we're talking about a knife that we're using to cut the rope. So according to Rashi, knives were made to cut food. And according to Tosfos, knives weren't made primarily to cut rope, and that's why Reb Nechemyah says you can't take a knife to cut it. And that's why Reb Nechemyah will be machmer even by chos m'shabakeli. Ask the Gemara, if you're saying that the second part of the Brisa is going according to Reb Nechemyah, I Reb Nechemyah, my Yiri Shabbos, so why is Reb Nechemyah machmer on chos m'shabakeli? Only on Shabbos, afilo yontav nami, according to Reb Nechemyah, and keli nittel el l'tzarech davar nittel. You could only use a knife for what it was intended. It wasn't intended to cut ropes that aren't, to cut ropes that are keeping a something covering a keli. So why on yontav does the Brisa say it's mutter? The chitem, so what are you going to answer? Shani le Reb Nechemyah. Reb Nechemyah draws a distinction between shvus Shabbos l'shvus yontav, between Shabbos and yontav. And on Shabbos he'll hold ain keli nittel el tzaruch davar nittel, and that's why a knife can't be used to cut the cover fastened onto a keli. On yontif it will be. Says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that Reb Nechemyah doesn't make such a difference. And he holds ain keli nittel el tzaruch davar nittel even on yontif. Does he draw such a distinction? Vatani chodes. What we're going to learn now is we're going to have three brises. The three brises contradict each other. And the way the Gemara answers that contradiction is by saying that each brisa represents the position of another mandama. The first brisa says, Masikim b'kelim, vei masikim b'shiver kelim. On yontif, we could use a keli as fuel. Why? Because a keli is not muksa. Vei masikim b'shiver kelim. A keli that broke on yontif cannot be used for firewood. Why? Because it's, as the Gemara will say in a moment, it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Muksa. This keli, at the beginning of Yontif, was intended to be used as a keli. It's a chair. It wasn't intended to be used as firewood. So now it became Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't use it for firewood. The Mishnah Berurah says, but if it's not broken, so it's not muksa, it can be used for firewood. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it only can be used for firewood if you have nothing else. Otherwise, there'll be a problem about tashchis. There's an interesting Magen Avraham. And Magen Avraham says that the Brisa is teaching us that according to Yehuda, the keli that breaks on yontif is muksa and can't be used for firewood. So the Magen Avraham is medayik in Rashi. What happens if you don't have to move it? Let's say you have a broken table, and now you want to use it for firewood. But you're not going to move it, not going to be metatal it. You'll use it for fuel right here where you're sitting. What's the issa muksa? The issa muksa is tiltal. Here you're not doing any tiltal. Why would the halacha be that you can't use it for firewood? So the Magen Avraham says certainly you can't use it for firewood, even if you don't have to move it. The question is why. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that Chazal were concerned that if we will allow you to use this broken keli without moving it, you may come to move it. But then I saw another pshat, which is a very fundamental concept in Hilchos Muksa. Shulchan Aruch Rav says this. He says, from all the things that Chazal spoke about, when we speak about Muksa, we've been speaking about Muksa so much in this Masechta, they always speak about Tiltal Muksa, moving Muksa. What's so special about moving versus any other use? Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it's not Tiltal per se, it's not moving it per se that Chazal said is also a Muksa. Usually, how do you use something? By moving it. I need something, I take it from point A to point B. But what Chazal meant was ishtamshus, that you're not allowed to use it. And he points out it's not hano, because hano is mutter from muksa. It's ishtamshus that's osur. And a broken keli, what is its main purpose? What could you do with it? I could use it for fuel. So tiltal equal ishtamshus. So ishtamshus, using it for fuel, is osur, even if you don't have to move it. The Avni Nezer wants to point out, from here he says, we could see that there is no isser of binyan vestira on a keli. Because what is everybody, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that if the keli is not broken, I could use it for fuel. But when I use it for fuel, I'm breaking it. So isn't breaking it an isser on Shabbos, on Yontif? So even if it's not a deraisa, it should be at least a derabbanan. So if the Gemara, even Rabbi Yehuda is allowing us to use a keli, shouldn't we have a raya that stira, the kelim, is mutter on yontif? So Avni Nezer says, a gevald a gevard. He says, what does stira mean? So we know that the definition of stira means stira manas livnois, breaking something with the purpose of building it. Here, when I use this keli for firewood, there's certainly no amanas livnois. It's disintegrating, it's being burnt. Therefore, since it's a stira bekeli, which is never the rice, it's only drabonon. Moreover, it's not almanas livnois, that's why it's mutter. But could be a stira of a keli, almanas livnois, may not be an issa the rice, but will be an issa drabonon. V'tan yidach, there's a second brisa. Mesikim baby kalim, baby shiver kalim. Both a keli and something that broke on yontem may be used. As we'll learn, that shit is Rav Shimon, who doesn't subscribe to muksa. V'tanya idach, but that is a third brisa. Aim is seeking loy b'kelim v'loy b'shiver kelim. So shiver kelim, we could understand why they may not be used, because it's Rabbi Yehuda, muksa. But what about kelim? So he said, because it's Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya mean, and Rabbi Nechemya just taught us that we could only use a keli for what it was designated to be used. So here, we clearly see that even on yontif, because we're talking about using it as fuel, only on yontif can it be used for fuel. On Shabbos, you can't burn a fire. You can't use it. And keli nitel el tzarch tov nitel. So how did you want to answer the braisa? Rabbi Nechemya said his rule of en keli nitel el tzarch tov nitel. Only on Shabbos, not on yontif. Here we clearly see that Rabbi Nechemya says his din even on yontif. Or Mishani, like we already spoke out, Lord Kasha, the first price represents Harab Yehuda, represents the Shita of Yehuda. Harab Shimon, the second price represents the Shita of Shimon. Harab Nechem, the third price represents the Shita of Nechemya. So we see that Nechemya is even saying his position on Yontif. Says the Gemara, trait to Noiva, leave it Reb Nechemya. There's Machloik is to know him what Reb Nechemya holds on Yontif. The brisa that we had in Tapet Amid says Reb Nechemya holds his position only on Shabbos, not on Yontif. The last brisa that we just quoted has Reb Nechemya keeping his shita both on Shabbos and on Yontif. Says the Mishnah, ain't poiches in a sener. One is not allowed to form a lamp. So the way they used to make lamps was they used to take a piece of clay, form it by making a hole in it as a receptacle, and that was a lamp. And then they used to bake it in a kiln to harden it. So the Mishnah says, ain't oyser in a sener. We're not allowed to form a candle, neshu oyser keli. So it's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand what the Mishnah is discussing. Rashi explains, like we just said, that if you take a piece of clay and you form a hole in it, that you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Tosfos says, that is certainly obvious that you're not allowed to do it. What is the Gemara referring to? He says the way they used to do it was they used to take the clay and form a hole, and then after they formed the hole, they used to pin in a piece of straw into the hole. Because while it was in the oven baking, you were concerned that the walls would collapse around the hole. Ain parchesin is a kli, says Tosfos, means you're not allowed to take out that piece of straw that you put into the kli to keep it in place. Ve'enos p'cham b'yontif, we're not allowed to make charcoal on yontif. So Rashi says, of course, it's considered making a keli, because goldsmiths used to work with charcoal, so they need charcoal, you're not allowed to make a charcoal on yontif. Others say, because it looks like uvda d'chol, if you make charcoal, yet others say it's also because of maris ayin. Then chaytchen as a psila, we're not allowed to cut a wick. If you hood aim a chaytche ba'or, we could cut it with a fire. The Gemara will explain this more mitzvashem soon. Ask the Gemara, man tana, our Mishnah, again the way Rashi explained it, held that just forming a lamp out of a piece of clay is considered making a keli. Man tana de b'chisas nar, forming this receptacle, manahu, is considered making a keli. Om Rab Yosef, remehi. It's going contra meya. The Tanya, kli cheres emes emekabel tuma. From when is a kli cheres susceptible to tuma? Mishenigra melachtai. From when it's formed. Divrei remeya. Rav Yeshua says mishitzifu bekifshin. You have to completely form it and bake it. So here we see the kontra meya, just forming it, even though you didn't bake it, it's a keli. Similarly in our Mishnah, just making the lamp is considered making a keli. Amle Abaya, says Abaya, how could you say that Ramey is the Tan of our Mishnah? Mamai, Dilma, at Kanla come Ramey Hosom. You know when Ramey says that if you form the Kaili, it's considered a Kaili. The Chosel Kabobe Midi. It could be used as a receptacle. Abel Hocha, when you have this small lamp, so you made a receptacle, you formed a hole into it. Lamai Chosel, why could you use it? You can't use it as a lamp yet because it's too soft. So what is it usable for? Says the Gemara, l'kabel be'pshita. It could be used to keep coins in it. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, it's Yontif. Yontif coins are muksa. So the Mefarshim say, the Gemara doesn't really mean coins. The Gemara says it's usable for something like coins. Anything small can be kept in it, and that's why it's considered a keli. Yeah, but it has to, but you're making it on Yontif, so it has to be a keli on Yontif. Ikadamri, another version of this back Shakla Vitaryo, is Omer Rabbi Yosef, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Elizabeth Tzadiki, Tetnan, Alfasin Charonius. So as the Gemara will explain at the bottom of the Omid, Alfasin Charonius means plates. But again, the way plates were usually made was they were formed, and first they were flat, then they were formed in, with some sort of receptacle, because even a flat plate is not completely flat, and then it was baked. Alfasin Charonius means the plates that were used by the people from the villages, who were not that sophisticated. And they didn't wait until the receptacle was formed. They immediately use it when it's flat. Afasi chironius tires by la mace, the nam makabel tumma, if into the same house as a mace, but tameis b'masa azov. But they are makabel tumma if a zov carries them. And because of this line, Tosfos has a different understanding of the Gemara and Rashi. Because Tosfos asks Kasha that we don't find in Halacha, says Tosfos, that something should not be susceptible to Tumas Mes, and it should be susceptible to Tumas Ziva. If it's not susceptible to Tumas Mes, which a higher level of Tumah, it's certainly not susceptible to Tumas Zov, which is a lower level of Tumah. So that's why Tosfos explains the Gemara this way. Tosfos says, the way they used to make plates was that the plates had covers. And the sophisticated people, what did they do when they wanted to eat from a plate? They took off the cover and ate on the plate. The people from the villages ate with the cover on. They just ate on top of the cover. So the Gemara says like this. Why is it not susceptible to Tumas Meis? Because the halacha is, we all learned in Chumash, that a kli cheres that's sealed is not makabel Tumas Meis. So since it still has the cover on it, that's why it's not susceptible to Tumas Meis. It is susceptible to Tumas Ziva, because the halacha of Tzomet Pasul, of a keli cheres being covered with a Tzomet Pasul, doesn't apply to Tumas Ziva. Again, we'll learn the Gemara like Rashi. Rabbi Elizabeth Sodekheimer, af Tyrus the Mas Azov, they're not susceptible to the Mas Azov, lufi shloi nigra malachtim, because they weren't formed. But what do we see from Rabbi Lezer? The moment they're formed, even though they weren't baked, it's makabel tuma, because it's considered a keli. So our Mishnah too, the moment it's formed, it's considered a keli. Amrei Abaya, so asks Abaya, again, the same as we had a moment ago. Tuma. At Kalan Kamer Belezer Tzadik Hasam. You know where Belezer said that a plate, as soon as it's formed, even though it's not baked, it's considered a keli. Abul Chaz LeKabulei BeMidi. It could be used. Abul Hocha. This lamp LeMay Chazi. What could it be used for? Says the Gemara, LeKabulei BePshita could be used to hold coins. I saw interesting Shaila. The Paiskim ask, based on this Gemara, that you're not allowed to take a piece of clay and form a receptacle to make a lamp. What would be the halacha? Are you allowed to take a potato? Let's say a very primitive, very, very primitive lamp. You take a potato and you form out, you make a hole in it and you use it as a lamp. Would that be mutar or nasun yantif? It's machloikas hapaisk. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, as we just learned, Ein Parchas in the Saner, we're not allowed to form this lamp in the clay. Vein Oysen Afasin Charonis B'Yontif. We can't make these plates that are used by the villagers on Yontif. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mat about Fasin Charonis, he does allow. Ask the Gemara, My Charonis, and we already explained this. Amar Yehuda Aronis. Ask the Gemara, My Aronis, and what does that mean? Amar Baya, Tsoi Chakli Oysa. The plates that are used by the people from the village, like Rashi says, they're not even formed with any semblance of a receptacle. We learned in the Mishnah, we're not allowed to make charcoal on Yontif. Ask the Gemara Pshita, obviously, Lamai Chazi, what can you do with charcoal on Yontif? Answers the Gemara, Tani Rav Chia, Lenitzrcha, Lemoisim La Loroyan Labai Bayoim. That you want to give the charcoal to the attendants of the bathhouse to use to heat up the bathhouse on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Bai Bayoim Yishari. You're not allowed to go into a bathhouse in Yontif. So how could you use it? How could you make it to give it to them? They're not allowed to warm up the bathhouse. Answer the Gemara. Because I'm a Rav Laziyah v'kaidim gzeira. Kachnam Laziyah v'kaidim gzeira. So the explanation is Gemara is as follows. It was never mutter. They lived in a different world than we do. That's really what we have to say. It was never mutter to warm up the bathhouse on Yontif to take a bath. Because they did not take a bath every day. Most people did not take a hot bath, a hot shower every day. So it's considered a dover, she'en a shovel chol nefesh. It's not something that everybody does. And like we've learned so many times in this Masechta, that even though oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif, it has to be a dover a shovel chol nefesh. It has to be something everybody does. And therefore you're not allowed to take a hot bath on yontif. Hazia means to schwitz, to sweat. That is considered a dava shavel chol nefesh. Why? Because as we said many times, why did they do hazia? For refuah. And we've said, refuah is considered a dava shavel chol nefesh. So originally, on Yontif, they didn't take hot baths, but they did hazia. So the bathhouse attendants need the charcoals to warm up the shvitz. However, afterwards, Chazal said that what were these attendants doing? They were saying that they're using the charcoals, that they're heating it up for the schwitz, but they were really using it to prepare hot water. So they said you're not even allowed to take a schwitz on Yontif. But our Gemara is discussing before Chazal made that gezeira, and we would think that you're allowed to make charcoal for them to prepare the schwitz. Kamashmon, you're not allowed to because they should have prepared it from before Yontif. So we're now allowed to cut a wick into two. Maishnam sakin deloy. Why are you not allowed to use a knife? To come a sakin mono. Because you're making a keli, you're making it a wick. So ask the Gemara, in our mission it says that if you light this long wick, it's permissible. Ask the Gemara, but or nami come a sakin mono, so why should you be allowed to light it? Says the Gemara, tanrab chia choit chib or befishte neris. What you're doing is, you have two candles. And let's say the wicks of these two candles are connected. And you want, this is the way the Mishnah Berurah explains the Gemara, you want both candles to be burning as two separate candles. So when you're lighting the wick in the middle, all you're doing is just lighting your two candles. That's why our Mishnah permits it. But if you're doing it specifically to make it into two separate candles, that's awesome. The Mishnah Berurah also, in the Bi'ah Halacha, makes a deed. It's mashma that only besakin, that if you cut the long wick into two separate wicks, that's prohibited. But what about if you just tear it? That may be mutter. Maybe Allah brings down two opinions on that. It says sakin on the bottom of Amun Aleph. Now, I saw a few interesting shaylas when it comes to candles on Yontif. One shayla I saw is, some people have that they put their candles in such long candlesticks, they open it up with a screw, they want to make the candles taller, so they stick them into such a thing, and then they screw it to the bottom. Is that mutter or asr? The Shas of Tshuva Space Avi says that that's considered making a keli. Other Paiskim say that that's not considered making a keli, and it's mutter. Another interesting shaila is people who light with oil sometimes use floating wicks. So the shaila is, are you allowed to put the wick into the part that floats on Yontif? Rav Wozner discusses the shaila. The Minchas Yitzchak discusses the shaila. So Rav Wozner says that he himself is makbid to prepare it before Yontif. So let's say you have a 2-day Yontif. So the second night, and you light with these wicks, prepare them from before Yontif, put the wick into the floating pot before Yontif. But he says, if you didn't, it's mutter. Why? He says, because a wick is a wick even without the floating pot. So therefore, it's not considered that you created a keli. Minchas Yitzchak says another reason. Since it's not meant to be permanent, it's only for the few hours that the oil is burning, so it's not considered a keli. Keli requires some semblance of permanence. He asks himself that when people throw out these wicks, they don't separate it out of the floating pot, they throw it into the garbage as it is. He says the reason they don't separate it is not because they want it to remain a keli. They just have no reason to separate it. You can throw it into the garbage as one piece. But they don't need it together once it's burnt, and that's why it's not considered a permanent keli. Another shaila I saw, the Debre Tzina Rav discusses. Sometimes you'll see that the candle comes with a very long wick. When they made the candle in the factory, the wick is too long and it doesn't burn nicely. It could start melting the candle. Are you allowed to cut off part of the wick, certainly by hand, on Yontif? So Debre Tzina Rav says, interesting psak. He says it depends if the candle could burn anyway. If the candle could burn with the wick being long, so you're not really accomplishing anything. So that's why it's mutter. If it could not burn this way, so you're turning into a useful candle, and it's usr. He also discusses, let's say your candle is too long, and you want to shave the bottom. Are you allowed to? He says, to use a utensil like a knife, you shouldn't. So, but if you want to break off a piece with your hand, he said it's okay. Continues the Gemara. Amram Nasabar Abba, Amar Rav, Moichten Sapsila B'yontif. We're allowed to do Mechita. My Moichten, Amar Rav Chana B'Shalmiya, Lauduya Cheshuka, to take off the darkness. What does that mean? A lot of times you see the candle, that if it's burning for a while, it forms a charcoal on the top. And he says you're allowed to take it off. There are two machlokes rishonim in this din. One machlokes is it only permissible while the candle is burning, or is it even permissible when the candle is not burning? And then there's a machlokes Rambam and Ravid, when you take it off, are you allowed to take it off only by hand? Or you take it off. The Rambam says you could only take it off by hand. The Ravid says you could even use some sort of a utensil to take it off. The Mishnah Berurah says, if possible, one should avoid taking off the charcoal on top of the candle because there are a lot of shaylas involved. Tani Bakapara. Vav Dvaram Nemar B'Psila. There's six halacha regarding a candle, regarding a wick. Gimel Lachmer, three achumris, for Gimel Lachmer and three akulis. Lachmer, what are the dinim lachmer? Ain goydin loisoy lachatchil b'yontif. We're not allowed to twist a wick, twist a bunch of strands into making a wick. Why? Because it's called making a keli. Ask the Sharat Sion, why do we say it's because it's called making a keli? It's also because shazira, braiding, is also on yontif. So the Sharat Sion answers that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos teaches us that for shazira there's a shear. There's a certain amount that's considered shazira. So let's say you're going to twist less than that amount. You're not going to be over shazira, but you will be over making a keli. A lot of times people light the candle first before they light it the second time. It should light better. That's also usur because you're making a keli. As we just learned, you're not allowed to cut the wick into two. Lahakal, but we learned three halachas lahakal. Mamacha b'yad, we can, if it's a little too thick, we could press it down. B'shoyer b'shemen, we could soak it in oil that it should be easier to ignite. V'choyt k'ba'or b'fish day neiris, that if you need the two candles, each one lighting separately, and there's one long wick connecting the two candles, we could light it in the middle and turn it into two candles, as we learned on top of the Amit. V'omrav nosmer abba omrav. Asirei bovel. The wealthy people in Bavel, Yor de Gehenim Haim, will go to Gehenim. Ki Hod de Shapsi Bar Marinus, because it was a person in Shapsi Bar Marinus, Ikel of Bavel. And the Farshim say it doesn't mean all of Bavel, it means one specific city in Bavel. Barmanite asked, he asked them to help him establish a business, Velo Yavali. They refused. Mazoini Mazin, so he asked them to give him some food, Namilo Zaini. It's like the Mefarshim explained, the Ben Yoyod explains, Mazoini Mazin. First he asked them they should support him in style. That they refused. So he said, at least give me Mazin, give me a little teat. They refused. These people aren't real Jews. They must come from the Erev. The Ksib, because it says regarding Klai Yisrael, for Nosnu Charachmim V'richamecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Rachmanis. Kol HaMarachim L'Briyis, if we see somebody has the mid of Rachmanis, B'yadu Shu Mizara Shel Avram Avinu. We know he's a descendant of Avram Avinu. The Kol Mish Enim Rachmanis L'Briyis, somebody doesn't have this mid of, B'yadu Shu Enim Mizara Shel Avram Avinu, he's not from Avram Avinu's descendants. Why Avram Avinu? So Mepharshim explained that, first of all, it's really all the Avos, but Avram Avinu was the first Av, and he was specifically exceptional in the midah of Chesed, Chesed l'Avram. The pasuk says regarding Avram Avinu, "V'yimani yitzava esbon of esbeis akrov laso is stoku mishpat." So that's why the midah of Rachmanis is relevant to Avram Avinu's children. I saw the Mefarshim say along the same line. The Gemedrash says that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Avram Avinu a choice: what punishment should his children get, Golus or Gehenim? And he chose Golus. What about Gehenim? Avram Avinu sits by the door of Gehenim and does not allow any of his descendants into Gehenim. However, which descendants doesn't he let into Gehenim? The ones who act like him. The ones that don't act like him, he tells them they should go to Gehenim. Asirei Bavel, the people from Bavel that don't act like Avram Avinu, Yordei Gehenim Haim, they don't have Avram to protect them from Gehenim. Another pshat I saw is like this. A person who's a poor person in this world, and he never has to live off other people, he already has Gehenim in this world. So when he comes after 120, he won't have to get Gehenim. A wealthy person, who Baruch Hashem doesn't have to live off other people, he doesn't have. Asirei Bavel, it's only the rich people, you're the Gehenim Haim. They're going to go to Gehenim, the other people won't have to go to Gehenim, they already had Gehenim in this world. So Mefarshim, the Gemara says, what is the madrega of Klai Yisrael? Klai Yisrael are people that have Rachmanis. Why? So the Baal Tanya explains, Klai Yisrael is a chelik al kaimimal. We're all considered a part of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's biggest midah is he's a Baal Ches V'Rachmim. There's a tremendous Baal Rachmanis. So we, being part of God, have the same madrega. Another pshat that I saw, the Sfas Emes says, that we say in Nishmas on Shabbos, Hamanigoy Lama Bechesed Uvriyosov Berachamim. Says the Sfas Emes. So we see how does a Kadosh Baruch Hu run the world, so to speak? He runs the world with Chesed Berachamim. Who keeps up the world? Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael will not have the midah of Chesed Berachamim, then the world can't have an existence. V'yomarav Nosim Barab Amarav. Whoever has to rely on other people, the world is completely dark. He wanders for bread. And he doesn't know where it will come from. For him, the world is dark. The world is dark for a person that doesn't have what to eat. So, I saw that the Mefarshim explained that Yosef had tzaddik in Mitzrayim, v'yichalkel esbonov v'esbnei beisom. He supported his brother and their families. So since he supported his brothers and their families, says so tupshotim. Number one, he said to them, you're concerned that you're going to get a punishment because you sold me to Mitzrayim. But our Gemara says, whoever has to rely on somebody else, oylem choshech b'yadoi. It's a very bad existence. So you don't have to worry about getting any punishment. This is already your punishment. Another pshat I saw in that same pasuk. The pasuk says afterwards, "V'yinochim," he consoled them. Why did he console them? Because they had to rely on him for panasa and relying on somebody else for panasa, the Gemara says, is oilem chayshich bi'adai. So he told them, don't feel so bad. It's not terrible. And actually, we do this every year by the Seder. We begin the Seder with holach ma'anya, and we invite the poor person to eat. But as the Gemara says here, that somebody who has to rely on somebody else, oilem chayshich bi'adai, life is terrible. So we tell him, hashata hocha, l'shana baba ad Yisrael, hashata ha'avdei, l'shana baba b'nei chayrim, don't feel bad, this situation will not remain forever. The Magna Elif says another pshat in this Gemara, beautiful pshat. He says, if you want to use a candle, so you can have a candle, if you really want to have an effective use out of a candle, where do you put the candle? You put the candle in front of you, not behind you. You'll get more use if the candle is in front of you. Says the Magna Aleph, you have people that while they live in this world, they don't give tzedakah. When do they start giving tzedakah? They put tzedakah into their will. So he says, Kol hamitzapen al shulcha acherim. Somebody gives tzedakah, not that he will give tzedakah, acherim, his ears, his yarshim, will give the tzedakah. Oilem choshech v'adoy. It's like putting your tzedakah, you're putting the candle behind you, not in front of you. If you want to give tzedakah while you're still alive. Rav Chisda Amar, af chayav ein chayim. His life is not a real life. So I sort of mafarshim explain. What pshat that his life is not a life? So number one, they say that sometimes a person could, there are two ways you could give a person tzedakah. One is, you could send them a package, you could give him money for tzedakah. Another thing is, he could come pick up the leftovers. But if you're relying on the leftovers, there may not be any leftovers. He's relying on somebody else for leftovers. The world is dark for him, because he doesn't know if there's going to be any leftovers. Chayav ein chayim. So I saw two pshat in chayav ein chayim. One pshat is, that sometimes we have a person that although he started life poor, and he had to rely on other people for tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him, and he's matzliach. But let's understand this person. This person, every time he comes to shul, and he sees all the people that supported him while he was a poor person, he can't face them. So, chayov, even when he already has something to live with, ain't a chayim, it's not a geshmak of life, because he has to rely on other people. Another pshat is sometimes you have a person, he doesn't have money, but he's able to get together enough money to have food for Shabbos and Yontif. But we learned, shini veset, if somebody changes the way he lives, tchilas chayil b'nei mayim, it's the beginning of all disease. So this person, all week long, he doesn't have what to eat. Shabbos Yontif, he baruch Hashem has what to eat. But since he's not accustomed to eating well, he gets sick. So chayov, even when he has what to eat, einam chayim, he can't enjoy it because he's not accustomed to eating that kind of food. The Chasam Sofer has an entirely different approach to this Gemara. He doesn't say that this Gemara is referring to food and to money. He says that's not what's important in life. He says this Gemara is referring to Talmud Torah. We know that Torah is considered lechem. And call him etzap al shulchan acherim. If somebody in such a madrega that he can't learn on his own, but he always has to learn from somebody else, and he can't manage to figure out anything, and he can't bring himself to madrega and learning, oilem chayshich ba'adoy, that person has a very difficult existence. Tana bonan, gimel chayim en chayim. There are three types of people whose lives are not a good life. And I saw from the Sharmat Tzion Ba'alocha, he says, why do we need Tana Rabbanan? You don't need Rabbanan to teach us. This is the facts of life. He says, we see from here, says the Sharm Tzion Ba'alocha, the Rabbanan taught the Talmidim, didn't only teach the Talmidim Divrei Torah. They also taught the Talmidim how to live. And he said, therefore, you should have a life, Hamitzapa Shulchan Chaveroi, try to avoid relying on other people for Panasa, or me, Shish the Mishalas Alav, somebody whose wife, demands a lot, bosses him around. In other words, don't look for that type of wife. Try to stay healthy, because a person who's a bayis surim doesn't have a real life. Also, somebody only owns one garment. Like the Rishonim explained, Rashi explains, if you only have one garment, you can never clean it, because you need to wear it. And therefore, it could chas v'shalom form life, and living with lice is not that great. For Tanakama, and the Tanakama, why doesn't he mention this? Says the Gemara, efshe d'mayin b'monei. What he can do is, he could examine his clothing to make sure that there are no lice in the clothing. So therefore, even if he has only one garment, he can still have a normal life by keeping it clean and making sure that there's no lice. And if he sees any lice, immediately removing it. Says the Mishnah, Ain shoyv mesacheres, we're not allowed to break a piece of earthenware, vein choytchen hanayer, nor may we cut a piece of paper, litzis b'meliach. So where do we try to explain? When they put, meliach means like a herring, a small fish, when they put it on for roasting on Yontif, since it's a small fish, it could get burnt. So what they used to do was, they used to take a piece of paper, or a piece of earthenware, and put it on that to prevent it from getting burnt. How did they prevent the paper from burning? So the Rambam already says, they used to put the paper, they used to soak the paper in oil. That prevented the paper from getting burning. And our Mishnah is saying that you're not allowed to do that on Yontif. There are two approaches how to learn our Mishnah. One approach is that we're not allowed to do it because it's Machshirei Echel Nefesh. And our Mishnah is going according to Rabbanan that hold Machshirei Echel Nefesh. You're not allowed to do in Yontif. Or it could even be going according to Rabbi Yehuda, but these are Machshirei Echel Nefesh that could have been done before Yontif. Machshirei Echel Nefesh that could have been done in Yontif, before Yontif may not be done in Yontif. Vein Kaif and Tanav Mekarayim. We're not allowed to clean out the Tanav Mekarayim from their ash on Yontif. Av Mechapshin. We could press it down to make it smooth. Vein Mekif and Shtei Chavius. We can't take two barrels and put them next to each other, lispus lemus agadera, to put the pot between these two. It's like making a fireplace. Two pots, two barrels, with the fire in the middle and the pot on top, because that's called boina. Vein soichm es gadera bebekas, we can't take a piece of wood to support the gadera from falling down. Vechein bedelis, we'll explain what that means in the Gemara Mitzvashem tomorrow. Vein, we're not allowed to lead an animal with a stick on Yontif. My Tama, why can't we take a piece of paper or piece of earthenware and use it to roast a fish? Because we are being sakin mana, we're making a keli by doing this. We'll stop here. On what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there.